Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He is an icon. He is national baseball writer for USA Today. I have spent many a night solving the world's problems with him at various All-Star and World Series galas. He joins us now on a Saturday evening. Bob, how you doing, man? Thanks for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Hey, Michael.
What you got going now? Where are you right now, Bob?
I'm in Red Sox, trying to figure out the Red Sox woes. Red Sox and Diamondbacks in Phoenix.
Okay, can you tell somebody with the Red Sox that Laureano has a really good arm in Oakland? Did you see what happened in that series between the Red Sox and the A's?
Yeah, that was funny. They said they knew about him, but didn't quite know it firsthand.
Yeah, and then
now they got it down.
What's bizarre is that the same guy made, you know, Bogaerts got tossed 2 days in a row. It's like, dude, I get it the first time. The second time, learn your lesson. And it's not like we didn't know this guy's got a great arm. Remember the throw he made? Was it last year where he made the throw? Everyone was comparing that to the Yoenis Cespedes throw. Same area, basically, the field down in Anaheim.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about it around the game. You just thought, you know, doesn't get enough attention. If he was playing the East Coast, right, the world would know about him.
So
what's funny was that the Red Sox clubhouse is like, they're talking about the A's series. You don't talk about Laureano as much as they're talking about Chapman. Now, Chapman blows them away because the big thing is, you know, everybody's been talking about Nolan Arenado is the best defensive third baseman people have seen in 50 years. Now, the Red Sox are saying, wait a minute now, we got a feeling that Chapman might be better. So that might be blown away more by Chapman than Laureano.
Yeah, you know, he was actually Arenado was saying last year during the All-Star Media Day availability, I don't know if you were there, Bob. I was not at the All-Star game last summer, but I saw transcripts of everything, and he was kind of going out of his way. You know, they went to the same high school a few years apart, right?
Right, right.
And Arenado was saying, I think Chappie's probably better than I am, and Chapman wanted no part of that because, like you said, Bob, everybody talks about him being the best defensive third baseman, but just that in a short period of time, Arenado's willing to entertain the notion. Yeah, the A's got something special. When Olsen's healthy, as he's not now, they got the best corner infielders in all of baseball, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, particularly defensively, but yes, unreal what they can do. So yeah, the A's were very impressed. I mean, the Red Sox were very impressed by the A's, what they saw in those three games.
So, Bob, I haven't spoken with you about Bruce Bochy's impending retirement, or I don't know if you can even call it retirement. He hasn't necessarily said those words, had he? It seems like the door is very much open for him to maybe manage somewhere else.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the Mike Socia thing. Because Mike Socia had told all his coaches, hey, I'm leaving at the end of the year. He never said retirement. He said, I'm leaving the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
I think here with, you know, it's a new regime. They want their own guy. You know, Bruce Bochy understands that. But we'll see if some team calls Bochy in the offseason. You know, I don't think he'd be surprised anybody, at least his, you know, Bochy's closest friends, whether he was still managing again. But I think just, you know, if I ran his course in San Francisco, if some other team comes calling, he would certainly listen.
Yeah, I don't think he's done by any stretch of the imagination. He had some health problems the past couple of years, but no news is good news. As far as I know, he hasn't had a lot of setbacks, and it's just the fact that it's not being talked about as it was. You know, last year there were so many negative things hovering around the Giants, and that was just one of many. Bruce Bochy's got health issues. He seems fine now. He actually seems a little bit invigorated. Do you think that's possible, that basically being a lame duck manager, you've got a team that nobody expects to be very good? Does that – you think that frees Bruce up a little bit?
Well, I think in the sense that he's a master at, you know, doing a bullpen. Mm-hmm. His bullpen is very good. You know, and there's flaws everywhere else, but as far as just the, you know, the bullpen itself, that's where he's a master. So I think he enjoys that. He enjoys the cat and mouse game. But yeah, it's got to be aggravating the fact he's got, you know, no pop, you know, anywhere in the field. So that part's frustrating. And you know, he's still as good a manager as ever.
How do you think he and Farhan are going? I mean, it's such a short marriage. We know that there is a finite amount of time for these two men to be working together. And while I think, You know, you mentioned the cat and mouse game. I think Bruce is a lot more, in fact, I know Bruce is a lot more in tune with analytics and advanced metrics than some people would suggest. I mean, there's people out there still who think Billy Bean invented on-base percentage, and that's why the A's are good. That's been around for a long time. It was a market inefficiency that was taken advantage of by the A's. But I think Bruce knows all about that. Bruce is more of a gut manager, that's for sure. And that's why he has the reputation as being a quote-unquote player's manager. But even if Bruce were staying, if we didn't know that he was going to say goodbye to San Francisco, I don't think it would have been that big of a problem. He seems like a guy who's really easy to work with. And Brian Sabian will certainly say that from the rooftops.
No, absolutely. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame for a reason. I mean, he's right there with the Bobby Cox, Torres, and LaRusses of the world. As long as, you know, he's still young. He'd still like to be involved in the game. So, hey, if someone wants to hire him as manager and that team has got a chance to win, I think, both should be all ears. Yeah, you're right. He knows sabermetrics and everything else. It's not like he ignores that stuff.
Right.
I think just people think that, because he's over 6 years old, that, you know, doesn't listen. You know, is, you know, Brian Tabin used to talk about that too. He goes, hey, we're right in the heart of Silicon Valley, you know, the mother load of sabermetrics and everything else. He goes, we just don't go around bragging about it, but we do it.
Right. He doesn't drop we're light years ahead of everybody the way the Warriors owner did. But, hey, it turns out he was right. Hey, let's talk real quick about the Hall of Fame. Bruce Bochy, you mentioned he's a Hall of Famer. And there's no doubt in my mind, but you think there's some people out there that still need some convincing? This guy who took the Padres to the World Series. They didn't get it done, but still he got them there. And then he comes to San Francisco and engineers, you know, the best 5-year run that any Giants manager has had. I don't think there's any doubt he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Do you?
No. Yeah, I mean, you wish you had a better winning percentage, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no doubt at all. So he's a slam dunk. Yeah, you know, just, you know, 16 people voting, just a veterans committee.
Right.
So, you know, you can put him, you know, right there with the three guys that just got in, you know, talking about, you know, Cox, LaRusse, and Torrey. So, yeah, no, it's a no-brainer for him to get in there.
So, Bob, tell me about your thoughts on the first week and a half, 2 weeks of Major League Baseball season. I'm going to pretend that what happened to Japan didn't happen. I don't understand why they do that. They don't need to grow the game in Japan. And having been over there with the A's when they opened the season in 2008 against the Red Sox in the Tokyo Dome, I remember Eric Chavez saying it took about a month for his body to feel right on the way back. Now, that's an extreme case of jet lag, and part of it's because, you know, when you're that age, you're rich, successful, you're famous, you're bulletproof, right? So if your mom and dad are telling you, son, sleep on the plane the best you can, or depending on which way you're going, stay awake the entire time so that when you get to the hotel, you can go to bed and have something of a regular clock. For whatever reason, a lot of A's didn't listen to the training staff and they ended up paying the price. Take that out of the equation, the Tokyo thing, the Japan. I don't understand why they're trying to push that on us when we know baseball is thriving in Japan. But what's jumped out at you? Give me the biggest surprise for you and the biggest disappointment thus far.
Well, certainly the biggest disappointment is twofold, is the Boston Red Sox, Chicago Cubs. And they made it in the spring training. And people say it's a possible World Series preview. You know, one team's 1-6, their team's 2-7.
Mm-hmm.
So both horrible starts. Probably the two surprise teams, or maybe three surprise teams, is Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Oakland. You know, those teams that play as well as they have. The one thing is to watch out for, you know, it's only the first week, but you talk to scouts and people in baseball, that ball is jumping. I mean, I hate to say the ball is juiced, but something funny is going on. Some of these balls being hit right now, they're going to places they shouldn't be.
Wait, you think that there might be juiced baseballs in Major League Baseball, Bob?
Yeah, they wanted to spice up attendance and excitement, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Baseball than the steroid era. And so maybe this way you just, you know, juice up the baseballs instead of the bodies.
Here's one I've been dying to ask you about. We know that the Atlantic League is going to, you know, they're experimenting with some of these rules. Most of them pointed towards shortening the games, picking up the pace. But the one that jumped out at me, like, wait, that's not a rule change. That is a fundamental change to the physiology of the game. Moving the mound back 2 feet is maybe the dumbest thing I have heard as an adult baseball fan.
Yeah, you're not going to get players that want to play there. Players are going to snub that league on purpose, like you said. It's one thing if you want to move it, you know, move it back. Okay, 2 inches maybe.
Right.
But two feet is ridiculous.
And especially
lower the mound if you want to do that. You know, I think baseball would be interesting. Okay, you know, do the Bob Gibson rule. You know, lower it again.
Mm-hmm.
But push it back 2 feet. You know, what are you going to do? Hey, as soon as a couple of guys start getting hurt and having some Tommy John surgeries, the league's going to be shut down.
Yeah, and that's going to happen awfully quickly. I mean, they're doing it in the second half of the season only with the mound being moved back. And the reason they're doing that, I'm guessing, is because they know that the possibility for great embarrassment exists. I mean, imagine if they did it at the start of the season and a week later had to go back to the regular mound. I mean, we're talking about turning – look, if you're in the independent league, you're probably not blowing 95, right? So your fastball is probably sitting around 90, 91, typical independent league guy. You move that mound back 2 feet. First off, the mental strain, you're going to know you're 2 feet further back. So subconsciously or consciously, you're going to be aware that you have to throw harder. All of a sudden, your 90-mile-an-hour fastball, you add the 2 feet to it. What is that, Bob? That drop it down to 87, 86, 85?
Yeah, maybe 5 miles an hour, you're right. And the thing is, if you're in a pennant ball, the reason you're playing in a pennant ball is so some scout can notice you and say, you know what, I'll take a chance this guy.
Mm-hmm.
What scout in the world is even going to bother to fly in there or even drive to Atlantic League? Because you can't even access these guys. I mean, you can't judge a pitcher. You can't judge a hitter. So why even bother to go in the games? You know, it's going to turn into like a carnival show.
Yeah, I don't get it. How about the robo-umps? Is that an inevitability, Bob?
I hope not. I mean, right now, you know, even the umpires say, you know, when you see those strike zones on TV, they're not accurate. I mean, it's the same strike zone box for Jose Altuve as it's for Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hope that stuff never comes about either.
Bob Nightingale of USA Today joins us. It is Saturday at 4:42. We're going to be talking NBA in the 5 o'clock hour. Among our participants will be Mark Medina. He covers the Warriors for the Bay Area News Group. We're now talking with Bob Nightingale, baseball columnist for USA Today. Bob, before I let you bounce, I need one bold prediction coming out of each league for you prior to the All-Star break. Tell me, this is going to happen, and it's going to be great for them, and this is going to happen, and it's going to be bad for them. One on each side of the ledger.
Well, we're going to see someone on a home run pace because the ball, the way it's flying like that. I don't know if it's a Cody Bellinger's or to get 6 home runs or something like that.
Paul Goldschmidt has 35 home runs right now, I think.
And we're going to see some people on some record-setting paces before the All-Star break. And that'll be the big storyline. Yeah, can they break Bond's record? Something like that. So I think we'll see that. And, on the flip end, hey, if Jacob deGrom keeps doing what he's doing, you know, people are going to talk about, hey, this guy, the Bob Gibson of his era, you know, it's not a 1-1-2 ERA. But if you have another sub-2 ERA, it's like, oh, my God, what is this guy doing? So, we'll see how long it lasts. And, we'll see about the Cubs, too. 1-6 start. Joe Maddon, you know, last year with his contract or in the hot seat. So, if the Cubs keep struggling like they are, I think they'll become a national story.
Both Chicago teams are second to last place in the Central of their league. How about that?
Well, only one team is supposed to be that way.
Yeah, I know. Hey,
yeah,
Bob.
And the Cubs, big payroll. You're not supposed to be losing like this.
Yeah, so you said Madden's in his last year. Has there been any whispers or maybe even yells out there that this could be it? Maybe he's one of those guys who gets tuned out after X number of years?
Yeah, I mean, they've had no contract extension at all. They said, let's see what happens this year. So he could be the latest, you know, big-time manager looking for a job, you know, joining Joe Girardi and John Farrell, Matheny, Bochy at the end of this year. So it's amazing just how few of the iconic managers are still around.
Be kind of cool for Bruce Bochy to be the Cubs manager before it's all said and done. I think everybody should get to manage the Cubs or play for the Cubs at least 1 year.
Hey, remember now when he was a free agent from San Diego, when they let him talk, Cubs were his first choice.
Is that right?
Offered the job. They went to Lou Piniella instead. That's why he went to San Francisco. If the Cubs had offered a job, he would have been to Chicago.
Oh, sweet Lou. And he wouldn't have those three rings. Bob, I know you're busy. Thank you so much for your time, man. I appreciate it. I'm sure this is the first of many, many conversations we'll have between now and when does this baseball end? December 25th, whatever, something like that. Thank you for your time, Bob.
All right. Take care, Michael. Bye.
Bob Nightingale of USA Today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.